It's good to be together, singing to our great God and then learning from His Word. I'll just pray now we can take some time. You can have one-on-one time, as we do often, that we can settle our hearts and ask the Lord, say, Lord, would you just help me to focus? Would you help me to meditate on the Scriptures this morning? We have at times becoming with cares, worries, troubles, different things like that. And we just want to ask the Lord, say, Lord, please help me set these aside. I don't want any clutter to come in. I want you to truly speak to my heart. I want you to challenge my heart, comfort my heart, help my heart to retain your words, that I may go out these doors with another decision that will help me with my Christian walk. So I want to give you some time to do that. Let's bow our heads and hearts and just pray before we read this scripture. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we're so thankful that we can come. We're so thankful, Father, that we can come through the doors today and sing and praise you. We're so thankful, Father, that we can open the Word of God with great liberty. There's some places in this world, some countries, that don't have enough finances to own a Bible. Some other countries, Lord God, they don't have the liberty that we have to open the Bible. We ask and pray this time that you would be with those, Father, that are seeking you with all their hearts. And that maybe, Father, we can learn some from them to be diligent, to be thirsty, to be hungry for righteousness. Father, I pray that you'd seek to do a work in our hearts by the Word of God this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you'd help us understand, retain what we learn, that we may apply it in our lives, that we may give you the glory in doing so. Help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, reveal to us certain truths that we need in our own lives. Speak to our hearts by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says there in Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. God's word refers to three different kinds of buildings or houses, if you would. And that's the building of our life, the building of the family, and the building of the church. And I think it's, in the way of introduction, important to acknowledge the builder. The Lord is the one that initiated these buildings or these houses, and as at times called these tabernacles, if you would. And without the Lord, none of us in this room will be here today. Would have no life, would have no family, would have no church. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that had built these houses by his created hand. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:4, for every house is builded by some men. But he that buildeth all things is God. The Bible says in Colossians 1:16, all things are created by him and for him. By the way, let me just say this morning. If a building is not created for him, or whatever we do is not for the Lord or God's glory, we but work in vain. We build in vain. But we need to consider the creator in the building of our lives. I want to just elaborate a little bit more. God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." See, God does the forming. Many a times we think that, you ask the question these days to those that don't know God, and you ask him, you say, "How do you think you got into this world?" And they would simply say, "Oh, my mother and my father." But in reality, that babe cannot be formed without God forming it. Psalm 139 verse 14, the Bible says, "I will praise thee, for I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works." The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 73, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." See, God is the builder of our lives. It is he that initiated this thing. He's the one that's created us. He's the one that has made us. He's the master builder, if you would. And then the building of the family in Genesis 2:18, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." Notice this phrase, "I will make him a helpmate for him." And then going back in Genesis 1:28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." By the way, God intended marriage to be one man, one woman. Did you hear that? One man and one woman. That's what God's intended for marriage to be. Any other way is in vain. If it's not God's way, it's all going to be in vain. It's all that people try to initiate or try to go against God or try to do it another way. All that is going to be in vain. And then we have the building of the church. Matthew 16:11, Jesus said, 16:18, Jesus said to Peter, "Upon I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so we see that Jesus is the builder. And by the way, just for the record, Jesus did not build his church upon a man. That rock that he was talking about was the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking from Genesis to Revelation, you see that Jesus is always spoken of the rock. And Jesus mentions that he will build his church upon himself. He's the chief cornerstone. In each of these areas, there's no doubt you and I, we must allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the master builder. It is absolutely essential to allow the one that gave us life to rule our lives. Every area of our life is safer left in the hands of God, whether it be our life, family, and churches. Now, the Bible says if we do not allow the Lord to build our houses, that our labor and all that we do in this life will be what? Vain. What's that definition? What does it mean, vain? What's the definition of vain? Empty, okay. Anything else? Anyone want to add to that? Yeah. Worthless. Yeah, good. Anything else? When you think about things being vain, we have empty, worthless. What else? Waste of time, wasted. What else? Useless, nothing, good for nothing, vain. If we don't allow the Lord to build our houses, we labor for nothing. We do all that we do for nothing. And when it comes to that time of reckoning, it'd be wasted, a wasted life. How terrible it is to come to the end of your life and realize that you've just wasted your life, that hard work for nothing, a wasted life. A ruined family, a useless church without the Lord. And then I want to give you some principles this morning to help you let God build these two principles. Number one, have a good framework. It's good to have a good framework. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "And therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord." Notice that ye are no more strangers. I believe the first thing that you need to have in your life is to have that framework, that chief cornerstone. You need to make sure that you are building on the Word of God, the Gospel of God, and that you're saved. Once you're saved, you belong to the family, or the Bible mentions in this passage, the household of God. The greatest need for humanity today is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. That's the greatest need. Notice he says, you are no more strangers or foreigners. You know me, I know you. We're not enmity anymore. We have a relationship. And by the way, that's the biggest difference to have between religion and a relationship. I was brought up in religion, and it was a Christian religion. I was brought up for 24 years with the different rituals of my upbringing of some sort of Christianity. But it wasn't Bible-believing Christianity. Although they had the Bible there, but it was added onto, or was twisted or manipulated. It wasn't just taken for face or, you know, what it says. It was trying to take a certain part of the Bible to apply to some sort of teaching. And let me just say this. The greatest ruin of a building or of a life is when you try to manipulate the scriptures to suit your doctrine, especially salvation. So how are we saved? For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The grace of God is the one that is able to build you or save you. It's not of your works, your labor. If you're trying to get to God by what you do, then it's going to be in vain. All that we do would be wasted if we're trying to merit God's favor. Now, God says, I love you the way you are. I know that you're a sinner, but I love you and I came to die for you. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that I could do that would change God's love for you. But there's nothing that you can do and I can do to get to God or earn God's favor. You're saved by His grace, His beautiful grace. Grace is something given to you and me which we do not deserve. And many religions today try to work their way to heaven. They try to prove their Christian life by doing works. And let me just say this to you. James mentions that, but many times James is also twisted. People try to twist the words of James. In other words, James says, show me your faith by your works. And what James is trying to say is that you don't do works to prove your faith. Your faith will automatically help you have works, and therefore your works through God will prove your faith. And so people try and do works to prove and say, look, I've got faith. But who's laboring here? Is it your work or is it God's work? Is it God working through you and you're trusting the finished work of the cross? I tried to speak to a man for about an hour yesterday on this concept. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized and thou shalt be saved. I said, the believing comes first, baptism comes later. He goes, you need both. I said, no, listen, you got it wrong. It's faith in Christ alone and then you get baptized. Baptism by water doesn't do anything for you. It only identifies what you've already believed. The faith, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible mentions that the Philippian jailer said to Paul, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the believing here is not just the head knowledge. It is a heart commitment. That's what Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch said, oh, here's some water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. Those that gladly received the word were baptized and added to the church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, in prayers and fellowship. Listen, it needs to be the work of God first, and then by faith and by the Spirit of God you follow. If you're not born again, not regenerated by the power of God, then all that you do is in vain. There's nothing that you can do, there's nothing that I can do that would save us. It's only what He had done. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we follow. And it's natural for someone that is born again, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that you're calling upon Him because you're repenting, and it's natural for you and I to want to follow the Lord when you're saved. I've never met a man or a lady that said that they truly trusted in Christ and were so indifferent about their discipleship or their sanctification. I didn't know anyone that said that they were, saved and they continued to live their old lifestyle. Anyone that I met that was saved always wanted to please God. Sure, they got struggles. Sure, they fall. But they have a desire to follow the Lord. They have a desire to trust the one that gave them life and eternal life. They have a desire to continue to maintain their holiness by trusting the Lord. The same way you and I are saved by faith is the same way we grow by faith in God's word. Have a good framework and make sure that you're trusting only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the same thing is true, I want you to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, would you turn your Bibles there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some of the verses are on the screen for the sake of saving time, but I wouldn't like to, you know, get you to bring your Bible for nothing, amen? So it's good to open the scriptures, hear those pages move, and glean and see what the Lord will have from us for us in these scriptures. Look at verse 1. For we know, in 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us the self same thing is God, who also have given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are also always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Notice verse 8. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He says this house, in verse 1, is not made by the hands of man, but is an eternal one. And this body, if you're saved here today, is kind of just groaning and mourning or waiting for that new body. When Jesus comes, he will give us a new body. And I'm looking forward to that. Aren't you? A body that is freely able to worship God and serve God without any hindrances. But then he goes on to say, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a wonderful thing that is. Do you have that hope this morning? Can you honestly say that if I die, I'm going to be where the Lord is? Can you die? Can you say like that thief on the cross, today you'll be with the Lord in paradise? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure that you're going to have this new body, this new temple, this new building? One that fadeth not away. One that is eternal, a body that's the body, as the Bible says, glorious, like unto his body. Are you 100% sure that if you die, you'd go to heaven? This is the framework that you need to have. And also, secondly, you need to have the foundation, a godly foundation. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, the Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Every building needs a good foundation to withstand the storms of life, to withstand the pull of the world, and to resist the temptations of Satan. Let me say this, the world system, Satan himself, the little g, God of this world, is endeavoring and is devouring a lion that's seeking to come and destroy your life. He's coming to destroy your family, and he wants to destroy churches. But you know what's going to keep this building upright in your life, family, and church? Having a good foundation. The good foundation is the Word of God. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Having a firm foundation. Jesus Christ, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Building on the foundation of God's Word. And Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Luke chapter 6, notice verse 46. Jesus saying, and why call me Lord? Lord, and do not the things which I say. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them. Now, understand this. We're talking about the sayings, the words of Christ. He says, whoever hears my word and he does them, I will show you to whom he is like it. He's like a man which built a house, dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, it could not shake it. So it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth or on the sand, and against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. If you don't have the foundation right, the house is going to be built in vain. It will crumble. It will fall. And a good foundation is one that is laid on the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And the only way that you can build right and have that good foundation is when you hear the Word of God and you do it. Remember that time when some disciples came and said, your mother and your brethren, they're outside, they're waiting for you. So who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Whoever hears the Word of God and keeps it is the same, my mother and my brethren. It's that building that foundation, being obedient to the Word of God. Look, let me say this to you. Maintain as a Christian, if you want to build a good Bible time with the Lord, maintain your Bible reading. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Notice what the Bible says. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the what? Notice that phrase. To the Word of His grace, which is able to what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The more you read the Word of God, the greater opportunity you have to build. You know, the more that you're revealed to the Word of God, the more you're able to be instructed to do. You're not ignorant on certain areas of your life. I remember growing up in the Christian faith and reading my Bible and hearing messages week in, week out. I never knew this. Where did this come from? Wow, I wish I knew this a long time ago. You don't know anything about different things, subjects. You know, don't be ignorant of God's Word. You'll have the lack of building your life. I remember meeting Janet. Janet was brought up in a Bible-believing church. I was a family in a church. I wasn't. And I remember meeting her, and we used to share testimonies, and she used to share her testimonies, and well, they were sweet testimonies. She used to say, you know, we'd talk about how I would go out and drink and that. She goes, I've never drank. I said, you've never tasted even? Not even tasted alcohol? She goes, no. And my wife's never tasted it until she met me. Don't be alarmed. I thought I was doing something good. I went to go and buy some chocolates for my wife. And I didn't even know what was in the chocolates, but found out they were rum. I took a bite of that. I went, whoa, what's that? You can taste the alcohol. I was ignorant what was in that very chocolate. And listen, don't be ignorant of God's Word. Understand what's in it. Many times people do different things because they're ignorant of what God has to say. Many people don't know what the Bible says regarding this subject or other subjects or this or that or whatever. Many people don't even want to know because they're all afraid of what they're going to find out. That's what happened to my life. Certain things that I'd know about the Word, I didn't want to know because I'd have to change. But thank God that God wants to change us and build our lives. Don't be ignorant of God's Word. Get in the Word. Have a good quiet time. Bible study. Be exposed to the truth of God's Word. We need consistent reminder how to love the Lord, how to please the Lord, how to be a good soldier. We need to know the facts of how to know to tame this tongue, how to subdue it, how to speak right, how to be kind, how to forgive. We need to be reminded of these things. These facts need to be consistent in our lives. The very detail of the Word of God helps us recommit to the Lord. We need to be exposed to the Scriptures. Daily exposure to the truth will help you let God build. Things like purity, holiness, integrity, sacrifice, giving, obedience, and humility. We need to get in the Word of God and maintain our Bible reading and our Bible study in order for us to know what God says and do it. That's how you build. And then maintain your prayer life. No prayer, no power. No communication with the Master Builder. We cannot have the grace to be able to do what God tells us to do. And many things found in the Bible are going to be so hard for you to do. You need to go back and say, God, I know this is hard, but I want you to help me. Communicate to the Lord. Walk with God. Get in and say, God, I want to do this. Or say, God, I have this struggle. Help me with it. A just man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. And he keeps going. He keeps walking with the Lord and talking with the Lord. And he has a maintenance of a relationship with God. Don't be too big to walk with God. You know, prayer and talking to God reveals that you trust God. Prayer and talking to God reveals that you're dependent upon Him and not yourself. And then not only building your house in your life, but let me give you the second point today, how to let God build. Let God build His church by being faithful. So we understand we build our lives by being obedient, but we build our church by being faithful. Notice Hebrews 10:25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. As the church of God meets together, be in the house of God. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. When you come together, there are some reasons why we come to church. Number one, it's to praise, love, and glorify God. Number two, it's to proclaim the gospel. We come together to fulfill the Great Commission. Let me say this, and let me on this point. How real is the Great Commission to you? You and I, if you're saved here today, are a fulfillment of the Great Commission. We are a byproduct of it. And now God wants you to be someone that would, you know, multiply. Someone be a witness, go out and be not only a byproduct, but someone that will be a propagator of the gospel. God wants to use you to reach people and win people and share your testimony on how you came to know the Lord. And then number three, we come to church because we prepare to grow in grace. We are challenged by the Word of God. We are comforted by the Word of God. Number four, passion to love and serve others. The second part of Hebrews 10:25 says this, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The day of the Lord. I don't know about you, brethren, but I need encouragement. The world out there is not going to give me the encouragement. I'm not going to hear a lot about Jesus out there. I'm not going to hear a lot about Jesus on the internet, on the TV. I need to come to a place where I'm going to hear about how to worship God. I need to come to a place and how to be encouraged, how to maintain my walk with God. I need to come and encourage one another. Back up in verse 24, let's see. He says this in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So we're not only faithful in attendance, but we're faithful to one another. You want to build the church of God? Be faithful to God's house. Be in God's house when the assembly gathers together, and be faithful to one another to encourage one another. There are too many times that we see in the world that there are putting down. Whether they're in offices, working in the office place, universities, too much larrikins happening, too much people teasing in the schools, and different things like that. But when we come to the house of God, we come to edify and build up. We come to have a kind word, like the Proverb 31. Out of her mouth was the law of what? Kindness. And we come to encourage one another and be genuine about that and pray for one another, provoking one another unto love and good works. And then number three, and how to build the church, not only to be faithful to attendance, not only be faithful to each other, but have a good godly attitude. Look, being in church is one thing, but wanting to be in the church is another thing. At the most, being in church, you're seeking a blessing. But desiring to be at church, you'd be a blessing. There's a difference. Have a good spirit. Did you walk in this church? Or did you wake up this morning saying, oh, I can't wait to go to the house of God. I can't wait to be in the house of God. And look, let me just, I don't want to discourage you here today, but if you didn't wake up like that, maybe you want to go home and slip up a prayer and you say, God, revive my heart again. I don't want church to be how it used to be in my religion. I have to. Can't. I don't want to come in, can't wait to get out. You know, if that happens in our lives, at most part, it's something's happening in our hearts. And notice what the psalmist says, Psalm 122, verse 1. What he says is, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When we come to the church of God, we need to be glad. You say, but so-and-so said something to me, and so-and-so said this and said that. You know what's the best remedy for that? Forgive them. You can go home and you can pray for them. You can go home and not take it personal. You say, God, I'm not going to take this personal. I want to pray for this person. And that will help you. Notice what, I love this verse, Psalm 84, verse 10. Notice what he says, for a day in thy courts is better than how many days?
1,000.
For one day before the Lord, one day in thy courts is better than 1,000. He says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He says, I'd rather greet people at the door than to be in the tents of wickedness. What an honor it is to be in the house of God, greeting God's people and being that doorkeeper. One day, he says, is better than 1,000 days outside of God's house. And as you know it, if you have a family and you're saved, what a wonderful thing it is to go home and continue that. Amen? That only you come together as a church, but you can go home as a family and continue singing, continue reading your Bibles, continue praising the Lord. What a wonderful thing that is. Look, this is not the only place that you can be in the sanctuary of God. You have your closet time. You can go in your closet and you can pray. You can have a family time, but no doubt church time is the building of God. And we need to be glad when we come to the house of God. Not only that, let's have a unity, a faith that keeps the unity. A faith committed to keeping the unity will build the church. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in what? Unity. What's the definition of unity? Anyone? Yes? Okay, oneness. Good. Anyone else? Okay, have your heart knitted together, binded together. It's so important to be one in the gospel, isn't it? To have that agreement together. Knowing that we believe that you're saved by grace, not by works. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So important to have the foundation of doctrine that we believe on these things. Now, not everyone here believes that doctrine or this doctrine, and we have, honestly, it's good to have that unity together because that's what's going to build the church. Amen? That unity in doctrine, and also unity means working together. The Bible says when you strive together for the sake of the gospel, that's striving or laboring together with God, that's being unified. Having unity, working together, and being agreeing with one another. How can two walk, Amos says 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? For you ladies, you young men, those that are seeking to be married, make sure you marry a Bible-believing Christian. Someone that would have God, you know, I said this, if Charity ever grew up to the point saying, Daddy, you know, I'm really interested in someone, you know, or vice versa, you know what their resume should be in my eyes? You know what I'll really look for? Not how much talents they have. Not if he's going to be a preacher or anything like that. Not how much money they have or where they're from. What country they're from. What color they're from. No. Do they fear the Lord? Do they love God? Because I know, sweetheart, if he loves God, he's going to love you. If he loves God, he's not going to cheat on his taxes. Don't be unequally yoked together with a non-believer. That's what God says. Don't be partnership with someone that just simply is a non-believer because, look, he might want to cheat on his taxes and you don't want to do that. You don't have that unity. The house is going to be broken. You don't have that unity. The house will be broken. Make sure that you have a unified relationship. You have a unified church. This is why we encourage the young ones to seek those that love the Lord. I remember when I got saved, I was at that particular time ready to get engaged. And I knew the Lord before she knew the Lord. And so I began to play the preacher in my young life. I just wanted to preach to her. I want her to be saved. And in the beginning, it was like, I wanted to be saved so I can marry her. You know, when someone showed me this from church, don't be unequally yoked together with a non-believer. I went, whoa. Does that mean that if she doesn't get saved, I can't marry her? Exactly. I mean, you can, but I guarantee if I did and she wasn't saved, I wouldn't be here today. I can still be saved, but I'm going the wrong direction. You don't want to, you know, be ununified. And I really believe with all my heart, I was starting to play the Holy Spirit. Came to the point where I really wanted to be saved. And so, you name it, I'll try to just... But God has his timing. And God said no. That was the toughest decision I had ever made in my Christian walk. The toughest decision I've ever made. But I remembered this principle, to put God first and don't compromise. Put him first. Build the house right on the good foundation. Make sure you're building right in your church, in your marriages. And that leads us to the next point. That leads us to the next point here. We're going to skip a couple of verses on that point, Tom, for the sake of time. But how to let God build? Let God build in your family. So we said, let God build in your life by being obedient to God's word. Let God build in your church by being faithful to it. And let God build in your family by being responsible to your duties, to your responsibilities. Being responsible. The Bible says there in Colossians, you want to turn to Colossians chapter 3, please? Colossians chapter 3. The Bible says there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Let me just say this. Wives, you want to build the house? Submit to your husband. And we understand the fact that submission is something that you do even when you don't want to do. Or else it wouldn't be submission. In other words, anyone can submit when you agree with it. But it's harder to submit when you don't agree. But you need to submit to your husband, especially if you don't agree with his decision. If you want to build your house, you need to submit to your husband. Support your husband in his decision making. Don't question your husband when he makes a final decision. And if your husband gets that decision wrong, don't rub it in his face. Don't say words like this, "I told you so." See, we wouldn't be in this mess if you listened to me. That's not submission. You know, you probably want to say something like, "You know what, sweetheart? That's okay. We can learn from this. I believe God is leading you, and I pray that your husband's a godly man. If he's not, I'll pray with you. You can come up to me, and I'll pray with you for his salvation. I know how hard it is, and I've never been in it, and I never will be in it, but how hard it would be to submit to an ungodly man that doesn't know the Lord." There's a balance that you need to find, because many his decision, many a times, may be contrary to the word of God. And you're going to say, "Well, what am I going to do in this situation? I want to honor the Lord, but at the same time, I want to put God first." But in the context of a godly husband, submit to him, support him, love him, follow your husband with a sincere attitude. When a crisis arises, your husband needs to know that he's safe and you're supporting him. You know, the Proverb 31 woman made her husband safe. The Bible says that his heart, what? Safely trusted in her. You know, this is what you want to do. You want your husband to trust that you know, he's got your support. And then consider your husband. Consider his design. This is entwined with submission. By the way, when you consider his design and how God made him, you'd be more prone to submit. Amen? When you know you understand, this is how God made you, and therefore I'm going to submit to you as it is fit to the Lord. When you need encouragement and counsel, go to your husband. Go to your godly husband. Your husband needs to know and understand that that you can find in him, and that he's following the Lord. And that he's trusting the Lord, he's a godly man, and he'll give you answers based on the word of God. Say, "Sweetheart, can you pray for me regarding this?" Go to your husband. When's the last time you asked your husband to pray for you regarding a certain thing that you're struggling with, that you're bringing to the Lord? Consider his design. He's there to lead you and guide you. Don't be independent and make decisions without your husband. Don't have your own agenda. The world wants to teach you that it's a 50-50 relationship. That's 100% relationship. The two become one. This is 50-50. No, 100% working together as a team, playing your role. He's the leader. You submit to him and you recognize his design, and this is how God wanted it. You take away God's design, your labor is going to be in vain. You'll have a broken home. And then consider his design. Under that, you are to complete your husband. Your husband should value your input. Let me just say this. Being the leader of a home doesn't mean you make decisions without consulting your wife, man. True love is that you'd consult your wife about some decisions and you value her input. So in other words, let me say this, ladies, go to your husband, have some input, give your opinions, but don't make the decision. Let him make the decision. Many a times I've made decisions based upon my wife's input. It's great things and great ideas. And so, but she allows me to make the decisions. She allows me to make that call. So, ladies, consider his design. Submit to your husband. You want to build the house? Submit to your husband. Number three, care for your husband. The Proverb 31 woman made sure her household was in order. The needs of her house was made ready. The children were taken care of. Her husband was well looked after. Her husband had nothing to worry about. Her husband was known in the gates by other men. In other words, let me say this. His husband, her husband, was known by other men because of his wife. Well, that's, I don't know his name, but I know his wife. Because she was a woman that was a jewel, a diamond that shined. And so, care for your husband. Comfort your husband when he gets in the flesh. Confront your husband when he gets in the flesh. Another, look, I've always said this, and I'm going to say it again. Your husband's not Jesus Christ. He wants to follow the Lord and he wants to be sanctified. And so there are some blind spots that he might, something may take place in his life. You're the completer. Care for him. Shine these things. But listen, one by one, don't in one sitting say, look, you've got this wrong with you, and then it turned out to be an argument. But look, listen, let me say, bring it up slow, bring it up in a good atmosphere, use the right tone, use the right tact, use the right timing. Say, sweetheart, I've just noticed some things. This is just, lacking in this area. Or this or that, talk about it. Let him know some things. And you know what? He might come to you and say, well, I didn't know that. I'm so sorry. I've got to pick it up. You're the completer. You need to help him in that area. And then don't give your husband the impression that he's useless and that he's not good enough. And this can be done, ladies, by this silent treatment. When you give the cold shoulders trying to talk to you or whatever, you're not listening or whatever. This can give the man the impression of he's useless, he's not good enough. Don't give your husband the cold shoulder. I know many a times you're ready to talk, he's not ready, then he begins to be ready and you're not ready and all that. Look, just make sure that you're someone that's going to consider his feelings, and if he doesn't treat you like you ought to, you continue to submit as unto the Lord. You continue to love. You continue to support. And then number five, be more open with your husband. Don't make your husband guess if there's anything wrong with you. Just tell him. In other words, don't do certain things and gestures and whatever. Just tell him something wrong. I think what's ruining relationships and marriages is a lack of communication. The best thing that you can do to support and submit your husband is communicate how you feel. Your husband is neglecting you, tell him. Don't manipulate your husband. In other words, don't act in a certain way to get his attention. Just communicate with him. And then don't test your husband by asking him questions that are manipulative. In other words, don't be a Delilah. Samson, what's the riddle? What's the riddle? Samson, I didn't even tell my parents. Samson, you don't love me. If you love me, Samson, you tell me. Now, let me just say this. The Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do it that to manipulate us. He was just stating a fact. So it's the way you do it. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't have to keep on this point. Listen, point. Don't manipulate. Don't try to get his attention by doing certain things. Be genuine, walk in the Spirit, and submit as unto the Lord. I'm just saying this because notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. You want to build your house, learn how to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. And the Bible says in Proverbs 31 and verse 30, that what? Favor is what? Beauty is? But who is the one that should be praised? What does she do? Fear the Lord. So favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But one that fears the Lord shall be praised. Fear the Lord. Build your house by submitting to your husband. And then husbands, Colossians 3:19 says, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Number one, let me just say this, the way you can love your wife, listen to them. Have a listening ear. A husband and wife were at a party chatting with some friends on the subject of marriage counseling. And the husband jumped up and said to his friends, he said, oh, we don't really need marriage counseling, he explained. He said, my wife, she was a communication major in college, and I major in a theater of arts, he continued to say. She communicates, and I act like I'm listening. Never do that. Don't act like you're listening. Yes, dear. Yeah, I know. Don't do that. That's not loving your wife. That's not loving your wife. I say 50% of the time, ladies speak, double the words in one day that a man speaks. And as a lady commented on that, she says, it's because we have to remind you what, you know, every time what we're saying. And he goes, what? You know, be a good listener. Learn the art of it. And listen, look, you got to stop what you're doing. Stop your work. Stop your phone. Learn to sit, communicate, looking at the person when you communicate. We all need to learn how to do that, amen? We all need to communicate better by listening. Someone once said, this is why God has given us two ears and one mouth. So learn to listen and communicate with your spouse. And then number two, consider her feelings. Take your wife's little problems seriously. Don't undermine different things. Take them seriously. Sympathize with your wife and try your best to understand your wives. Look, I'm sick and tired of hearing jokes with people saying, I just don't understand her, I never will. Look, the Bible says that we are to dwell with one another according to knowledge. We can understand our wives if we just listen. Amen? We can understand to see a pattern that takes place. And these, jokes that come from the world and says, oh, you never understand, you never, oh, poor me. Get over it and start loving your wife and do your best to understand her so you can meet her need. Okay? And then have compassion towards your wife when she's expressing her feelings. Try to put yourself in her shoes. And when you see something wrong with your wife, ask her, is there anything bothering you? Consider her feelings. Notice her. See if there's anything wrong. Then consider her design. Understand that she's the weaker vessel. So encourage her, be there, meet her needs physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Play the man. Every woman needs to be led, and she's waiting for you to lead her, and you need to consider her design. And then appreciate your wife. From time to time, tell her that was a good meal, and tell her how well she looks after the kids, and tell her, appreciate her. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for getting that ready. And I know it's her duty and her responsibility before God. But it's good to be nice and kind and appreciative, isn't it? It's good to be aware of the labor. And the Bible says in Proverbs 31 that her kids and her husband praises her. Give her some praise and acknowledgement and encourage her. And number five, be affectionate towards your wife. Give her plenty of hugs when she needs it most. That happened in the time where I was trying to court my wife. What's changed? Love grows, amen. Help not to change, amen. Keep loving your wife and hug her and give her plenty of hugs and care for her. And then be open with your wife. Communicate all things with your wife, little things, big things. Never hide anything from your wife. And men, you want to build your house? Love your wife. Communicate your plans, your goals, and what you tend to do. Ask her for her opinion and value her input. Don't brush them away and continue to do what you want to do. Talk to her about it. Get her in on this. You're a family and you're one. Yes, you're the leader, but doesn't mean that you exclude your family from the affairs of what you're going to do. So love them. And then to the children, I'm running out of time. Children, you want to build the house. Colossians 3:20, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. If you want to build your house, obey your parents with a good attitude. Listen, learn the art of listening and doing one time. Don't let your parents keep repeating themselves. Your parents tell you to do something, do it. Someone once said, do what has to be done, do it when it has to be done, and then do it right. Don't, you know, if you don't get your way, don't start wishing you were old enough to leave home. Okay? Learn to submit and learn to honor them and listen to. Be thankful that you have parents that care for you. And then that leads us to number two, children. Appreciate your parents. Thank them and appreciate them. One day in your life, they changed your nappies. Your stinky nappies, they changed them and they cared for you and they attended to you. And again, that's their responsibility. That's what they need to do. But appreciate them. Don't take their love for granted. They provide for you. They buy you food. They buy your clothes. They look after you. They look after your education. Appreciate them. Love them. Say thank you and appreciate all the things that they've done for you. Say it. Say it with your mouth. Give them a hug from time to time. We live in a generation where our kids are spoiled, aren't they? Don't be a spoiled brat. Say amen. Don't be a spoiled brat. Appreciate your folks, your parents. Love them. And even if you have to write them a little note from time to time, just something sweet, something small, amen? And I'm just saying, do you want to build your house? Be faithful to your responsibilities as a parent, as a mother, as a father, as a child. And then children, listen, be open with your parents. Look it, don't hide anything from your parents. You learn something at school, someone tries to do something and cause peer pressure or whatever, let them know about it. You know, don't hide anything. And I hope, parents, that you can be a friend to your children, that they can open up to you and come to you and find in you. And when you're down or you're going through a tough time, let your parents know. If you have any issues with your parents, don't talk about them to your friends. Talk to them. Don't go and say, oh, my parents won't let me do this and this and this and that. They'll let Johnny do that and this and that. Now just go and tell your parents. And I'm sure your parents are godly and they're God-fearing and they'll rethink their decision. They'll adjust if need be. Many a times you may be like that widow with the unjust judge and you keep asking, please, can I? And you pray, please, I. But when mummy says, that's it, don't ask me again, that's it. And parents, let me just say, if it's something that you're thinking about, praying about, don't say, that's it, don't ask me again from the first go. Consider it, say, let me think about it, let me pray about it. Sometimes these decisions need to be that way. They're out of the question, unbiblical, go ahead, praise God. Let me just say, in closing, someone once said, a breach in the wall of a home or crack in the foundation of a family provides the devil an opening to destroy the framework of both. If you want to build the house, build your life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful to the church of God. Be faithful to your responsibilities. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 24:27. Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thy house. Our preparation, our diligence in considering the ant is to do what God has called us to do and to pray that God will give us the power to do it. But we need to prepare and have a good foundation and God will help us build right. Amen? And make sure you have a good framework and foundation. And love the Word of God and live the Word of God. I can't stress that enough in closing. Love the Word of God. Live the Word of God. Accept the Lord. Build the house. You labor in vain. I labor in vain. Your life will be empty, vain, for nothing, useless, hopeless. You want God to build? Have a good framework. Have a good foundation. Be a person that will hear the Word of God and do it. Be a person that will be faithful to the church of God. And be a person that will be faithful in their responsibilities in the home. Let's pray. You're probably with us this morning and you're not 100% sure that your framework is on or the foundation that you have of your salvation is right. You're not 100% that you're trusting the Lord for salvation. But perhaps you're trusting in your own works or different things. In other words, you have some doubts regarding your relationship with the Lord. You're not 100% sure that if you die, you'd be with the Lord. You're not sure that you'd have this new tabernacle, this one that's not made by hands. You say, I'm not 100% sure this morning that if I die, I'd go to heaven, but I surely want to be sure. I want to know. I can show you some scriptures, more scriptures if you need some clarification about salvation. You say you're here this morning and you're not sure that you'd go to heaven. You're not 100% about your salvation. You say, I want to know, please pray for me. You can slip up your hand and I'll be praying for you. And any time that you want to come up, we'll set up a time, we can open up the scriptures and show you from God's word how you could know for sure that you could be saved. You say, please pray for me. I want to be sure. Anyone like that? You slip up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Slip it back down. I just want to pray for you. So please pray for me. Anyone like that? Okay, maybe you're here and you're a Christian. And somewhere along the message, God had spoken to your heart. Maybe in your own life about being a doer of God's word or being a joyful Christian that wants to be in the house of God. But just also just being faithful in your home. Wanting to be a loving husband, wanting to be a submissive wife, wanting to be children that will honor your parents. Maybe you want to make a commitment to the Lord. I want to give you some time to do that. And then Brother Nathan will come and sing and close in a word of prayer.